He expects that after two surgeries, he'll be back on his feet by mid-May, perhaps even back on the air for a summit by summer. As he tells colleagues on the SOTA Reflector, however, he might not be making those plans at all were it not for the kind souls who first rushed to his aid on the trail to stabilise him, and then for the welcome arrival of the volunteer team he describes in his blog as Angels in Red Coats, the Glossop Mountain Rescue Team. It was a complicated rescue, but they moved him safely off the hill just as snow showers were threatening to arrive. Alan is now asking others on the SOTA Reflector and the community to help inspire some kind of special event or thank you gesture for helping to keep this SOTA activator alive. To Alan, the winter bonus for that summit truly belongs to the Angels in
listening to
90.7
FM
WGXC
ACRA.
Aloha out there in radio land.
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Up from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music, plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles, alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. And add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org and clicking on the community calendar.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Info, music, signals, news, fun and frolic, and emergency instructions.
90.7 FM, WGXC.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC news update. Andrea Mako reports at Porcupine Soup that Columbia Memorial health officials are staying mum about where they might put a new medical facility in Greene County after being awarded a $5 million state grant for the project. Catskill and Coxsackie have been mentioned as possible locations, but Greene County legislator Mike Lavera is complaining that county government officials are being left out of the loop. Lavera said, and I quote, "My concern is the lack of information being provided to county officials. The reality is that CMH and only some of the county knew they applied for this grant, yet we were not informed of that key detail," end quote. Last month, Greene County officials said the Hudson-based hospital was moving away from considering Catskill's location near Exit 21 of the New York State Thruway as a possibility for a medical facility. They said then that a Coxsackie location near a different interstate exit was a possibility, but Lavera opposes the Coxsackie site, saying, and I quote, "Cairo or Catskill, not Coxsackie, should be exactly where CMH should be looking to build or expand." Coxsackie, with all due respect, is not the center of the county, and we all know it. That would serve big government doctors and southern Albany, not Greene County, end quote. CMH spokesperson William Van Slyke said the Catskill location still, and I quote, remains one of several properties in Greene County that has potential for us to locate the new facility. Read the full story at Porcupine Soup. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that several members of the Hudson Teachers Association don't want students to be allowed to carry cell phones after video recordings of several fights at the middle school surfaced online. The March 1st school board meeting where the teachers made their requests was attended by more than 200 people. Superintendent Lisa Marie Spindler explained how the district was addressing the fights and other recent threats of violence at the school. At one point, Spindler said that a girl wielding a knife in one of the videos did not make contact with her intended target. Brianna Conti, the mother of the boy being attacked in the video, disagreed with the superintendent, saying, and I quote, "No, there was not just a stabbing motion. Contact was made," end quote. She also said the school never called her about the incident. At the meeting, Lola Roberts said a male student threatened to shoot her daughter and the district had downplayed the incident. She said, and I quote, "The school needs to stop pushing stuff under the rug," end quote. Spindler admitted the district was not prepared for the effect the pandemic and remote learning had on students' mental health. She said the district was hiring a social worker, a guidance counselor, and a restorative justice specialist with stimulus funds to address the issue. The next day, Spindler sent a letter to parents that said, and I quote, "that we have taken immediate action to enhance safety in our schools, and we are committed to continuing, exploring, and implementing additional initiatives to ensure that our schools are safe, secure environments for our students, faculty, staff, and visitors," end quote. She also said bathrooms at the high school would now lock during transition between classes. The Hudson School Board also voted to hire a public relations firm to communicate with parents and the press, paying Focus Media of Goshen $175 per professional per hour. Read the full story in the Times Union. Mid-Hudson News reports that Congressperson Pat Ryan sent a letter to CSX President and CEO Joseph Henrich demanding the company adopt more safety standards to stop a major train accident locally. Ryan says CSX trains carrying toxic materials have derailed repeatedly over the past several years, including in the Hudson Valley. Ryan, a Democrat who represents the 18th Congressional District and a member of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, also wants a congressional hearing on rail safety. Ryan said, and I quote, "We've seen a disturbing pattern of CSX consistently putting profit over safety, creating serious risk that what happened in Ohio could repeat itself right here in the Hudson Valley. Just like Norfolk Southern, CSX and other big rail corporations spent millions lobbying the last president to deregulate the railways, resulting in the administration withdrawing a proposal to require faster brakes on trains carrying highly flammable materials and ending regular rail safety audits of railroads," end quote. In 2017, there was a CSX derailment in Newburgh that spilled 4,600 tons of diesel fuel. There are 131 miles of CSX tracks along the Hudson River and into New Jersey. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the Donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
From Mare Nostrum to Mare Mortuum, the preventable disaster of migrant deaths at sea. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The bodies of drowned migrants are still washing up on the beaches of Crotone, Italy, on the Mediterranean Sea. Their wooden boat crashed on the rocks just offshore from this Calabrian resort town, turning the beach, said one local, into a graveyard. The death toll reached 67 on Wednesday, with 80 survivors. It's assumed many more died, as at least 200 people were aboard the boat when it departed Izmir, Turkey, a few days earlier. Orlando Amadeo, a local doctor, told The Guardian, "I've been treating migrants for 30 years and have never seen anything like this." He said, "These people traveled 1,078 kilometers by sea, only to die 3 meters from the shore," unquote. The Mediterranean Sea itself has become a massive graveyard in recent years. The UN's International Organization for Migration, the IOM, estimates at least 26,000 migrants have perished while crossing to Europe, mostly from Turkey and Libya, fleeing Afghanistan, Syria, and drought-stricken and war-torn African nations. Many more migrants have died uncounted as clandestine voyages on makeshift boats overcrowded by human traffickers out to maximize profit too often disappear at sea without a trace.
There is a lot more media attention in this case because the tragedy happened so close to Italy.
That's Caroline Willeman, deputy head of search and rescue with Médecins Sans Frontières, or Doctors Without Borders, speaking of the Crotone shipwreck on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
But this is something that happens on quite unfortunately regular basis, also very often closer, for example, to the Libyan coast, of people leaving the Libyan shores. And very often that news will not even reach Western media.
Over 7 million Ukrainians fleeing the Russian invasion have rightly been welcomed into Europe. Timuri Mohammed lost a relative in the Crotone disaster. Speaking to the press there, he lamented the lack of equal treatment for non-white refugees.
Because they have the black hair, or they don't have the green or blue eyes, they didn't rescue these people. I don't know, all the people they telling about the human right. Because they have the black eye, with a black hair, they weren't human.
MSF has been operating search and rescue vessels in the Mediterranean since 2015, plying dangerous waters to rescue thousands of migrants who might otherwise have died, while also dodging an increasing array of regulations and restrictions imposed by European countries intent on blocking migration. MSF's latest ship, the Geo Barents, was refitted and launched in June 2021. It's currently impounded in a Sicilian port, victim of Italy's new crackdown on humanitarian search and rescue operations launched by the far-right government of Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni.
In this new legislation that has come out that targets only NGOs doing search and rescue work.
Caroline Willeman again.
Keep in mind that the vast majority of people who arrive in Italy, either they manage to arrive autonomously or they are rescued by the Italian Coast Guard. But the legislation targets only NGOs, which says quite a lot.
Médecins Sans Frontières is not the only humanitarian organization involved in migrant rescue that's being hounded by various European governments. Sea-Watch, Rescue Ship, and other German-based groups are condemning Germany's new ship safety ordinance that seems designed specifically to hamper civilian migrant rescue operations. In 2015, a youth-driven project led to the acquisition and conversion of a small fishing vessel christened Juventa. The ship operated in the central Mediterranean, considered the most dangerous route to Europe, helping save 14,000 migrants from 2015 until it was seized by Italian authorities in 2017. Now, more than 5 years later, several crew members are being tried in Italy, along with activists from MSF and Save the Children, accused of, quote, aiding and abetting unauthorized immigration, unquote. Sasha Gerke, one of the Juventa crew members, made a statement in court on Wednesday. He said, I would like to begin this statement today in this courtroom by commemorating those who lost their lives off the coast of Crotone while we were sitting in this courtroom on Saturday. They started to fight for their lives. In a terrible and unambiguous way, the deaths of these people remind us of what's actually being on trial here. The Crotone shipwreck is inseparable from this trial. It wasn't the bad sea weather. It was the denial of help where it was possible. The answer to the Crotone disaster is the expansion of rescue capacities at sea and not their confiscation. The answer is safe and legal entry routes and not Fortress Europe, he said. 6 years ago, Dr. Orlando Amodeo posted a video showing body bags of drowned migrants being lowered to a dock off of one of MSF's rescue ships. He called the video From Mare Nostrum to Mare Mortuum, invoking the ancient Roman name for the Mediterranean, Mare Nostrum, our sea, and naming what it has become, Mare Mortuum, the Sea of Death. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
I'm Tamaru in Acre with the WGXC renewable weather forecast for Sunday, March 5th. And we begin each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Mobil in Caro has gas at $3.35 a gallon. That's the lowest price according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is a 44, creeping up but still in considered low. The UV index is a 3, which is moderate. And the temperature of the water in the Hudson River in Albany is at 38 degrees. And on average, on March 5th, over the past 10 years, it's averaged about 36.5 degrees. So it's a degree and a half warmer than average in the past 10 years. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a cloudy skies on Sunday with a high of 41 and a wind increasing to 9 to 14 miles per hour in the morning, spinning local windmills. Sunday night should be also mostly cloudy with a low around 27 and a northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 25 miles per hour. Then on Monday, it should be mostly sunny with a high of 40. Northwest wind persists around 14 miles per hour with gusts as high as 28 miles per hour on Monday. And there's a 40% chance of precipitation on Monday night, probably snow showers after 1 a.m. Cloudy skies and a low around 25. Tuesday, there could be some snow showers before 1 p.m. won't amount to much of anything. And cloudy skies that day on Tuesday with a high of 33 forecast and a low around 24. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. All right, I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and next on WGXC, we're going to speak with Jonathan Bix, the executive director of the For the Many activist group that has been active in Dutchess, Orange, and Ulster counties recently. And they announced on February 27th they are expanding into Columbia County. Jonathan, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Tom.
Tell us why you're coming to Columbia County.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, we've been working adjacently for a while, but we've also worked with some Columbia County organizations for years on statewide campaigns. We've worked elsewhere in the state legislative districts that include Columbia County for a number of years. And of course, Hudson and Columbia County are facing a lot of the same issues that we've been seeing and working on for a long time elsewhere in the Hudson Valley, including but not limited to the big issue of affordable housing. And we do have some existing supporters that have plugged into our work remotely from the area. So we just thought it made sense given all that and the importance of, you know, taking action around these progressive issues that we work on in the coming years, both at the state level and local level, and how that applies to Hudson and Columbia County.
Yeah, can you tell some of our listeners about the things that you do, the kind of things that you do, and the, I guess, specific things that you've gotten done?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll start with our local work and then can talk a bit more about our statewide work. So locally, much of our focus has been on housing. So over the last year or so, we passed Good Cause Eviction in four cities in the Hudson Valley. That is, of course, sort of been challenged in courts. Albany's good cause eviction law was just overturned yesterday, so that's now a big statewide priority of ours. But that is, you know, a law that we've won in four cities in the Hudson Valley.
The judge said that municipalities can't pass this kind of law, and it has to be a state law, right?
Correct. Correct. Yep. And so we're working with other folks around the state to hopefully get that done on the state level this legislative session. We've also worked on expanding the Emergency Tenant Protection Act, or ETPA, which allows municipalities north of New York City to opt into rent stabilization that applies to buildings if they have six or more units and were built before 1974. So if a city opts into that law, what it means is a city that appoints a board that controls if and by how much rents go up in those units. So we helped pass that in Kingston, and we actually recently won in Kingston a 15% rent reduction for buildings that meet that criteria. And we're currently defending that law in court with the help of legal aid, but that was the first time, as far as we know, that a rent reduction has been won anywhere in the state. And we hope to expand ETPA into Hudson and other cities and municipalities in the area, and then also fight for rent reductions there as well. Any questions on the rent stabilization issue before I keep going?
Well, I was just going to note that many of the issues that most of the issues that you're addressing relate to the affordable housing crisis, which is just a huge issue in this the whole area.
Absolutely, yeah. And then sort of the other big local campaign we've been working on, which is another housing campaign, is our Homes Are Not Hotels campaign, which is around sort of short-term rental regulation and trying to limit the spread of Airbnbs. And I know a lot of work has already been done on that level in Hudson, but we are hoping to add to it. And specifically, we are trying to work with local lawmakers to ban what we call vacation rentals, which is where the owner doesn't actually live in the rental. And we think there are a huge reason why it's so hard to find, you know, places to rent or to buy. We have a lot of out-of-town investors coming in, buying up entire homes, and listing them on Airbnb, you know, as kind of short-term rentals rather than long-term housing. And yeah, you know, we can sort of ban these vacation rentals while still allowing homeowners to rent out extra rooms or floors in their houses. And by doing that, we can still sort of like allow for that, but free up a lot more housing for people that actually live in Hudson. So that's another priority we've been working on locally.
And another major thing you got done was helped get an assembly member elected, right? There was a Democrat in the seat, and you got a Democrat socialist elected to that seat in the primary, and then they won the general election. Is that all correct?
Yep, that's all correct. We're definitely very proud of that work. Sarah Hanna had been somebody that we've been working for a long time and sort of statewide climate issues. And we helped her win her primary election by under 600 votes. And for that race, we made about 76,000 voter contacts by knocking on people's doors, making calls, sending texts. We sent out 80,000 pieces of mail to people's homes, and we made about 445,000 digital impressions through digital advertising on Facebook and Instagram for that campaign.
Yeah, I've been saying that this is a model for campaigns in Columbia and Greene County that don't do this sort of overwhelming grassroots efforts. I mean, I've been telling this story on Election Day. I had a dentist appointment in Ulster County, and I took a back route to get to where I was going, and there were folks with Sarah Hanna Shrestha signs on this back route in Ulster County on Election Day. Where I would not expect them to be, because they were everywhere in Ulster County.
Yeah.
So I guess some of that was you guys, right?
Yep, it was an amazing grassroots campaign. That was, you know, not just us, it was also the SA and the Working Families Party, but we did play quite a large role in the campaign.
So are you, what specific issues are you looking at in Columbia County if you move here? Because it's a little bit of an if, because you want to raise some money to to open an office and hire a staff in Columbia County, right?
Yes, that's all correct. And if people want to read sort of more about that and see the sort of capacity we need before we can expand, they can go to forthemoney.org or find us on social media, at Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, and read more about that. But yeah, so sort of in Hudson, as I mentioned, we would love to do ETPA expansion to strengthen short-term rental regulation. And we also want to plug people in Hudson and also outside of Hudson and broader Columbia County into our statewide campaigns as well. And we work on a number of issues at the state level, but our top priorities we talk about is our homes, energy, and wages platform. And so the homes piece is passing the Our Homes, Our Power legislative package, which includes statewide good cause eviction, which again is one of our top priorities, and would protect tenants from unjust evictions and rent hikes. In terms of energy, our number one priority at the state level is passing the Build Public Renewables Act, which, you know, is something that Sarah Hanna ran on and is a huge priority of hers, and that would direct New York State to build renewable energy projects and be able to sell them directly to families and sell energy at a reduced rate compared to current private utility companies. And then a last big priority in the state level for wages is to pass the Raise the Wage Act, which would increase the state minimum wage to $21.25 by 2027 and also index it to inflation so that in the future it increases automatically as cost of living go up.
So I got to ask you a news, breaking news sort of question. You're moving to Columbia County. There is an assembly member who is a Democrat, but kind of conservative. And, you know, their activists protested outside of her office last year because of she did not support some of these housing policies that you've been talking about this morning. And the more progressive mayor of Hudson, who still needs to run for his third term this year, is talking already about challenging Dede Barrett in the next assembly election. Are you have you been in discussion with Kamal Johnson, the mayor of Hudson, about that, or Dede Barrett about these issues?
Yeah, so we have definitely been very disappointed by Dede Barrett's lack of action around those critical issues. She hasn't signed on to any of those priority bills yet, has taken a number of votes in the past that we think are overly conservative and doesn't well represent her district. So we hope that, you know, in the near future that she sort of changes her stances on our key priorities. And I will say we do have a very strong relationship with Kamal Johnson, met with him recently. And yeah, all indications we sort of have are that we're very much aligned in terms of priority issues. So yeah, I mean, we, you know, eventually go through endorsement processes for all races, you know, that we're a part of. And we're still a little bit out from our 2024 endorsement processes, but definitely keeping an eye on that very closely.
Now, our radio station is covers all of Greene and Columbia counties, little Massachusetts and little Dutchess and Ulster with its signal, but mostly Greene and Columbia. I think we're the only organization or facility in the area that has its name with Greene before Columbia. Everybody else is Columbia Greene College, Columbia Greene this, Columbia Greene that. We are WGXC, which stands for Greene and Columbia. So our question to you is, why just Columbia County? Greene County is ripe for the pickings. There's a giant environmental plant that's going to wreak havoc around Prattsville, proposed. And in Caro, the town supervisor is either totally incompetent or breaking the law. He's not told people the truth about the tax rate for 2 years in a row. He's claiming it's incompetence that their budget is so screwed up that they've been telling people that they're paying a lower tax rate than they actually are and reporting that to the state and all. But the people of Caro don't want to reelect him, and the Democrats aren't even running a candidate against him. And then you guys are not coming to Greene County. You're only coming to Columbia County. What's up with that?
Yeah, well, I would say we aren't ruling out doing work in Greene County. We are playing sort of open and base our office in Hudson, but we're definitely open to doing some work in Catskill and in Greene County. I think it's more that, you know, we need people in Greene County to reach out to us and say they want to take action with us, and if so, we will definitely find ways to make it happen. And again, people can sort of sign up for our list at our website, forthemoney.org. They can reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. But yeah, so I would say it's more that if people